I'm Brandi Cruz. Coming up today on Undivided, the trans community marched on Seattle City Hall demanding trans rights. But what exactly does that mean? Plus, fallout expands following the arrest of a local school superintendent. And Spencer Pratt says LA's homeless population will migrate to Seattle if he's elected mayor. That and much more coming up today on Undivided. We've got one day left of our once yearly promo. You can get 30% off an entire year. It ends at 5 p.m. tomorrow. So if you'd like to take advantage of it, go to patreon.com/undivided. That's patreon.com/undivided. Use the promo code USA30. Hello, hello, and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving Common Sense a comeback. I missed all of you over the long weekend. I hope you had a time to spend with family and friends, relax, reflect, of course, on the meaning of Memorial Day. And we are back, a little short week, but we'll fit a lot into it. What do trans people want? What do you want? Look at me. What do you want? I feel like that's the scene out of The Notebook. What do you want? Oh, yeah, it is. What do you want? Because I don't know if there's any sort of treatment that they want or rights they want that they don't get in a place like Seattle, yet they still marched on Seattle City Hall demanding trans rights. And they were questioned about, okay, what does that mean exactly? And they didn't really have a good answer for it. So you'll recall last week, there is an organization called Mutual Aid Network for Trans and Intersex Individuals in Seattle, called MANTIS for short, that is demanding that Seattle's socialist mayor, Katie Wilson, declare a state of emergency for trans refugees. They claim, without any evidence whatsoever, that tens of thousands of trans people have fled to Seattle under the second Trump administration, fled persecution in red states, and they're coming here, and they say organizations like MANTIS need taxpayer money. They need additional taxpayer money to be able to provide these trans refugees with housing and food and all of these things that you would give, you know, a real refugee, not a fake one like a trans refugee. So they had a protest where they, this was after we wrapped up for the week last week, where they marched through Seattle, went down to Seattle City Hall. Our friends Jonathan Cho and Cam Higby covered it, independent journalists. And of course, as they tried to just cover it, the trans activists harassed them. Hate that sound. Such nice people.
You're gonna let me walk through?
Leave trans people alone.
You're blocking
the
a public sidewalk, sir. The transgender activists are now marching in front of the Seattle Police Department headquarters, and right across the street is City Hall. They're now marching through downtown Seattle, and you can see these far left activists swarming us.
Why are they so violent and angry? Well, maybe it's because they're not getting the rights that they're entitled to. We'll get to that in a moment, but I also had to play this clip of a very racist transgender individual.
You're not an American citizen! Go back to Taiwan, you piece of get out of here! You're not an American citizen! So go back to Taiwan, you piece of citizen! So go back!
I think he's from Transylvania. See what I did there? Kind of like a little vampire vavem situation. Just ridiculous. Now, Cam Higby tried to ask these individuals, because they were marching for trans rights, and I think this gets to the center of what I want to discuss, which is, okay, what exactly, what right are you not getting in a place like Seattle? I mean, a bastion for, you know, the alphabet mob. What are you not getting that you want?
Guys, what is a trans right? What is a trans right?
Basically, you know, just being able to be yourself, being able to be.
Doesn't everybody have the right to do that anyway?
Stop this. Hold on. I'm going to come back to this. Come away from it for a second. Sorry. What did he say? To be yourself, right? I have a right to be myself. Look at this picture. It's a still from one of Cam Higby's videos. Sorry, I had to do some blurring. It's a man with a fully intact pee-pee and fake breasts. Okay, they're saying that they want the right to fully be themselves. Do you see that right being taken away in Seattle? In fact, I would say they go too far in allowing them to, quote unquote, be themselves in the middle of a public street with their ding-dong hanging out. And their fake breasts on full display. Literally, how are you not being allowed to be yourself? Explain that thought process to me. Okay, we can go back and watch the cam Q&A again, sorry.
Guys, what is a trans right? What is a trans right?
Basically, you know, just being able to be yourself, being able to be...
Doesn't everybody have the right to do that anyway?
Huh?
Doesn't everybody have the right to do that anyway?
Yeah, I mean, but the thing
so
is...
What are you guys rallying for?
We have people who are out here who are killing us because we are trying to be ourselves, and
that's
not okay.
Who's trying to do that right now? I don't see that.
The right?
The right?
Are you not paying attention to the news?
Well, I'm on the right. I'm not trying to kill you.
Well, that just because you're...
It's interrupted.
Spokesperson, I would look for somebody in the black.
I'm just trying to figure out what a trans right is.
I get it.
What is one trans right?
Why don't you go and find the spokesperson?
I don't know where that person is.
They tell him to go find a spokesperson. He just wants them to list one trans right. What do you consider a trans right that you're not already getting? And again, I mean, this idea that we just want to be our authentic selves. You know, you've got people walking down like full frontal nudity in the middle of the streets and police are helping you do that and allowing you to do that. Like, and you are there because you want the city of Seattle to declare a transgender state of emergency so you can all get free stuff courtesy of the taxpayers. That makes absolutely no sense at all. But this whole idea of this guy... I mean, this is the brainwashing that the media helps with. Says, people are killing us because we're trans. Who? Where? Show me a headline in Seattle, Washington State, and really, I can't think of one recently in America where someone has murdered a transgender person because they are transgender. And I think that plays into this false narrative that the media perpetuated when this crazed lunatic was stalking people at the University of Washington and ended up killing an individual who happened to be transgender. But even King County said there's no evidence that he knew that the victim was transgender, let alone killed them because they were transgender. He was on video stalking other potential victims before that horrific murder happened. And of course, the media says trans killing, and wanted everyone to believe that it was because this victim, Juniper Blessing, was transgender, when there's no evidence and it hasn't been charged as a hate crime. I've seen trans people kill a lot of people. There's certainly a lot of headlines I could show you of trans individuals killing people. You know, targeting people in shootings. There's that horrible story of the trans person who murdered both their parents because they didn't want them to get gender reassignment surgery. I can give you way more headlines of trans people murdering people than I can give you of the right, just this amorphous blob of the right, murdering people because they're trans. I mean, is that really what they've been led to believe is happening? I mean, there's no right that they don't name a right. And I'm not talking about, I'm talking about equal treatment, equal rights under the law. What is a right that other people have that you as the trans community want but do not have? Because what you get is actually special treatment under the law. You get to identify as a boy or a man, and you get to crush girls in athletics. You get to be in a locker room that makes you feel good, even if it makes everyone else feel really, really uncomfortable and put out and put upon. You get, and the city of Seattle might even give you money because you identify as trans for housing, for food, for legal services. I mean, Katie Wilson, as unhinged as it sounds, based on no evidence of sort of a trans refugee crisis, she sent them a whole letter back saying, oh, I share your views that we need a coordinated citywide approach. We'll be looking at creating, you know, a task force to look at substantial steps, and even mentions some of those things that they might want to help pay for, again, with taxpayer money. That's special treatment. There's a lot of people in the city of Seattle and in the state of Washington who could use help with a place to live, help buying food, help with legal services of varying sorts. But it's the trans people who are going to get it. That's special treatment. Not only do you have equal rights, you get special rights and special treatment in a city like Seattle, and you still feel the need to march upon City Hall and pretend that you're being persecuted over something. It's absolutely insane. And then they feed that with people like the socialist mayor of Seattle giving into it. You're right. We're going to create a special task force. You say tens of thousands of people have fled here. No evidence whatsoever that that's even happened. It doesn't matter. We'll give you millions of dollars in taxpayer funds. And they will. And they'll prop up these nonprofits, and those people will pad their pockets as they do with everything else. It's absolutely insane. Yeah. We can't be ourselves. As you're standing there fully nude with a D in boobs out on a public street, I would say you're being yourself. It's just ridiculous. All right, I had to play this clip that's been all over the place over the weekend because he's right. So Spencer Pratt, running for mayor of LA, he'll probably make it through the primary, which I believe is happening June 2nd, if I'm not mistaken. It'll probably be him and Karen Bass. And one of his big issues is homelessness, which is really a drug crisis and a crime crisis. And he's been very brutally honest about it. And he was asked in an interview about, you know, what's going to happen to the homeless people in LA if he becomes mayor.
There is places for all of these people to sleep in LA. No matter what anybody tells you, we have housing and shelter for everyone that's living on the street. They're choosing to be on the street because they want to do drugs. They don't want rules. They don't want to listen. They want to have animals to abuse. This idea that they're forced on the street right now is a lie that our city is perpetuating. I promise you, because we have the Olympics coming and everybody in the government wants LA to be the number one most beautiful city. They will work with me to give me the land I need.
So you're going to move these 40,000 people somewhere, and you're going to have this facility up in, you said, how long?
Here's what you got to realize.
90 days?
Let me explain something. These 40,000 people, 60% of them, City Watch just announced this week, are not from Los Angeles. They're not from California. These people have been bussed in by scam rehabs, scam NGOs, scam homeless nonprofits. These people, when I unplug them and say, we're not taking our tax money anymore, they're all going to Seattle where the mayor will welcome them.
He's right. He's right, because they are, there's a reason they call them transients. It's a transient population. And when you're, and they come to places like California and Portland and Seattle because they get so much free stuff. And not only do they get free stuff, they get to stand out wherever they want, doing drugs, buying drugs, sleeping. And people don't shoo them along. People don't move them along. There's no expectation. There's no risk of arrest. So they've created this very hospitable environment for drug addicts. And so if you crack down on that in one place, they're just going to move. Now, I think some of them will probably stop in Portland, but a lot of them, yes, will wind up in Seattle. Because I will say, of Washington, Oregon, and California, our state is the slowest to sort of come to Jesus, so to speak, about this whole housing isn't, it's not a housing crisis. I mean, even in places like San Francisco, that was the worst of the worst for this issue, they've started to realize, like, we need to do things differently. And I even think you've seen politicians in Portland speak more truthfully about what the crisis really is. So a lot of them, he's 100% right. They will wind up in Seattle. And people are saying online that Spencer Pratt said he's going to send the homeless to Seattle. No, he's not saying he's going to send the homeless to Seattle or bus the homeless to Seattle. He's just saying if we crack down here, they're going to go somewhere else. And that's a natural place for them to wind up, with a socialist mayor who's not going to move them along. I mean, you see it on a micro scale whenever there's a sweep, which is much more rare than it ought to be in a place like Seattle. If you don't actually like arrest them or require them to get into services or something, what do? They just go down the block. So now it's going to be from one state to the next. I mean, that is a no-brainer. It's so common sense. Elon said one word, true. Elon knows that's right. It's true. And everything he said there is true. That when you've got these massive, it's a homeless industrial complex, of course, you don't think that some of those people benefiting, the more homeless, quote unquote, bodies there are, that's more money for them. You don't think that some of those NGOs, as corrupt as these NGOs are, aren't bussing people in from other places like, come here, because the more numbers, the more people they're serving, the more money they get. I mean, in Portland, it was like $80,000 was being spent of taxpayer money per homeless person. I actually think the number was higher in LA. I think it was like 120 or something. Per homeless person of taxpayer money is going to these NGOs, these nonprofits. So I don't want that money to go away. They're never going to solve it. So you crack down and then they're going to come up and then they're going to be our problem. And we're not going to have a mayor who's going to be willing to deal with it, because Mayor Katie Wilson, she'll probably declare the trans refugee crisis and the California homeless refugee crisis. And they'll just throw a bunch of money at the issue and we're going to totally be screwed. It's just outrageous. All right, coming up next, residents along Aurora Avenue in Seattle, where there's a huge prostitution, drug dealing issue, they're taking matters into their own hands to try to protect their neighborhoods, their homes, and their families. First, I have encouraged you guys to take the First Mark Challenge, firstmarkinsurance.com, firstmarkinsurance.com, because you can save a bunch of money. And Lord knows we all need to save some money right now with the cost of gas. Mr. Trump, I'm sorry. I love you, sir, but it is getting quite outrageous. I need you to do something about this stat. But we have so many undivided viewers and listeners who have taken the First Mark Challenge, come back to us, and first of all, just raved about the customer service experience. But second, said, you know, I'm saving hundreds of dollars a month. I'm saving thousands of dollars a year. All I had to do was pick up the phone and schedule time with First Mark to take the First Mark Challenge. It's a no-brainer, because the worst thing that's going to happen is they tell you that the insurance you have is already great and you don't need them. And that was the case with Carol. She says, I took the challenge. I learned my current coverage was good and I should stay. And to her, that was the sign of an honest company. They're not just going to say, oh, you've got to switch because we want your business. They want what's best for you, not the insurance companies, not them. So firstmarkinsurance.com, firstmarkinsurance.com. Schedule time to take the First Mark Challenge today and then come back and tell us how it went. All right, Seattle residents are fed, a lot of Seattle residents are fed up. Some are perfectly fine voting for the same old stuff that gets them crime-ridden neighborhoods, etc. But in North Seattle in particular, and I'm talking along Aurora Avenue North, there's a huge prostitution issue, and there has been for many years. But as that prostitution issue gets worse, of course, with prostitutes, you have pimps. With pimps, you have people who are very concerned about territory. So we're having full-on gangland shootings up in Aurora, on Aurora Avenue, and you have a lot of families that live around there, and they have had enough. And in lieu of the city doing anything meaningful, they're taking matters into their own hands. This segment is brought to you in partnership with our friends at Future 42. Turn your frustration into action at future42.org. Sign up for their newsletter, because they'll alert you to opportunities to get involved in saving this state we love. So this is what it sounds like if you're living in North Seattle, and if you were there on Saturday in the middle of the night, about 4 a.m. in the morning. Here's what you would have heard. Not fireworks. Listen to that. Straight up gangland style shootout. Absolutely outrageous. And yeah, that was Saturday, but it could have been any other night. That kind of stuff is happening not infrequently in North Seattle. Como News was up there, and they were saying that, you know, they talked to a resident who had their infant's room and an apartment hit by gunfire. So like going, I mean, when you're shooting that many bullets, you don't care where they go. You don't care where they go. And those are in residential areas, areas with businesses. And so they're going through kids' bedrooms. They're going into people's apartments. And you could kill a number of people having a shootout like that. It's outrageous. So you have some streets where you heard at the end of that video, like the speeding cars. So you'll have these shootouts happen. And then these vehicles try to get away. And sometimes they're fleeing through residential neighborhoods. So this picture is from King 5 News. You have some of these residential areas setting up barricades. And look, I mean, that's frustrating, because if I lived on that street, I would be like, I need to drive through here. You can't just barricade the street. But they're trying to stop some of these shootings from spilling over into their neighborhoods. And they're absolutely fed up. And they're taking it upon themselves to try to, I don't know, protect their little area as best they can. King 5 News also spoke to businesses who, I mean, they had some crazy video of this particular shootout, but said, look, the city has to do something for us.
His camera has captured multiple angles of more than 30 rounds being fired. It happened on Saturday, 4 o'clock in the morning.
It was a flat-out a shootout, an urban warfare going on, and our property happened to be one of the targets.
The video even shows two men taking cover behind a car before firing back at another group across the busy thoroughfare. Aurora is one of the main north-south arterials through Seattle.
And until the mayor and our city attorney comes up with a plan of action versus words, then this will continue to happen through the summer.
I mean, that looks like an episode of Chicago PD. Yeah, so it's not just the downtown core where this is happening. The gang problem has and the crime crisis has gotten very significant on Aurora Avenue North. Now, why is this happening? So the prostitution issue, I get it, is a delicate ish crime issue. Some of it's human trafficking. A lot of it's sort of forced prostitution. You might have a little bit here and there that's women, you know, wanting to get into sex work. I think that's probably pretty rare compared to women who have like pimps and are being, you know, forced to hand over some of the money that they make. And then drugs is wrapped up into all of that. So there was a movement, and I can't say I disagree with it on its face, but, you know, there was a movement to sort of stop prosecuting the sex workers and go after the Johns. You know, let's go after the demand and not, you know, throw these women in jail when they might be working for a pimp and might be victims of sex trafficking or whatever it is. On its face, I don't disagree with that. But all of it has led to this very permissive environment around prostitution, which is driving a lot of the other crime issues up there. For instance, back in 2025, so October of last year, we talked about this new approach that the city of Seattle and the police department had. And we kind of laughed at it at the time, and it is a little bit laughable. So instead of going out and arresting Johns, what are they doing? They were sending these warning letters. Now, I get it. If that's being done in combination with other things, but basically, if your car was seen in an area of prostitution, you know, frequently or suspiciously, they'd send a letter to your house or to the house that that vehicle was registered to. And it would say, this letter is to notify you that a vehicle registered to your name was observed by detectives with the Seattle Police Department Human Trafficking Unit on Aurora Avenue North engaged in suspected illegal sexual exploitation activity. It would have, you know, make, model, license, day, time, all these things. And the idea was to sort of let the Johns know, hey, we're on to you, but also maybe shame them. Maybe their wife opens that letter and is like, excuse me, what is going on here? And that would be a way to cut back on the demand. But you know what? That's not a substitute for arresting them. And if you're saying that detectives saw you there engaged in suspected illegal sexual exploitation, why didn't they arrest them? Are they being allowed to arrest them? Because if you're not going to if you're not going to be heavy-handed on the issue that is driving the crime crisis, you're just going to wind up with more dead bodies. And it's going to continue to be a hellhole. What do the business owner call it? I mean, it's urban warfare. So, you know, I understand the progressive nature to sort of let some of these low-level crimes or crimes of quote-unquote poverty or crimes of survival, quote-unquote, to go. I understand this progressive mindset. But it's the broken windows theory. You allow that to go, and then what comes along with it? Now you have this crime environment being driven by prostitution. The drugs are involved. You get these gang warfare issues for territory. And then you get shootouts in the middle of the night where more than 30 rounds are fired. And you get those rounds going through the bedrooms of toddlers and into homes and apartment buildings and businesses. And that's when innocent people die. So you can't just allow this to go through because, we feel bad for the girls because sex trafficking. You know what? Pick them up anyway. Pick them up. You see them out there. You go on Aurora right now, and there's chicks almost fully nude in their heels walking down Aurora. You could go down right now, and you'd probably find 5 to 10. Pick them up anyway, and then you get them out of that environment. And if they are being sex trafficked, then you can try to figure it out. You can try to get to who's sex trafficking them. And I know I'm like sounding like I'm sure police do some of this, right? But clearly, they're not being allowed to do enough of it. And if there isn't prosecution on the back end, then nothing's going to happen if you just cut them loose. So arrest more Johns, get the girls off the street, send police up there, arrest the gang members, all of that stuff. It has to be absolutely, quote unquote, heavy-handed, enforce the law, or people are going to start to die up there. And it's going to be innocent people, innocent business owners, innocent residents, kids who have families up there. I mean, it was Aurora Avenue North where that 15-year-old girl was plucked from the bus stop and brought into the woods and sexually assaulted by the homeless man. That was North Seattle as well. Absolutely outrageous. What they're willing to allow in the name of progressivism, it's got to stop. That segment is brought to you in partnership with our friends at Future 42. Turn your frustration into action at future42.org. Make sure you sign up for their newsletter to be alerted to opportunities to do just that. Did somebody say it? Did I call Spencer Pratt Chris Pratt?
Did you?
Maybe. Apparently I missed it, if so. Called Spencer Pratt Chris
Easy
Pratt.
Easy to do.
Easy to do. I'd vote for Chris Pratt too.
Yeah.
Over Karen Bass. No question.
I'd pick Chris
in the world.
Over Spencer even.
Chris over Spencer because of his looks? Is that a looks-based decision? Got it.
I mean, everything. He seems like a cool guy.
Yeah. All right, the fallout continues in that case in Longview, Washington, where a school superintendent was arrested. We'll get to it next in our segment, Unbelievable. First, if you're a small to mid-sized landlord in the state of Washington, things are nuts right now for you. I totally understand. I mean, it can be worse depending on what city you have rental units in. Like, if you're in Seattle, you already know. I mean, I don't think there's a whole lot of housing providers who are thinking about staying in Seattle long term, but reach out to our friends at the Rental Housing Association of Washington, and they have your back on an individual basis. I mean, if you're a landlord in the state, you need to be a member of the RHA. I mean, they help you with screening forms, keeping up to date on rules and regulations, helping you navigate, you know, different city, county, statewide policies. They have events every year on housing policy. I've been to a few of them and spoken, and they're also just very informative on the political front. And then they've got some high profile lawsuits that they're helping lead the charge on, like this big property rights case that I think they're going to succeed on, that will really, I think, change a lot of things for housing providers in the state of Washington. We've covered it on the show a couple times. So RHAWA.org, RHAWA.org, Washington's trusted resource, empowering housing providers. All right, five school staffers in the Longview School District now on admin leave amid this investigation that they failed to report allegations of sexual assault amongst students. Let's talk about it in our segment, Unbelievable. Okay, we're learning a lot more about the investigation that led to the arrest of Longview School Superintendent Karen Klongener. She made her first appearance. I mean, she was in a jumpsuit. She made her first appearance in court after she was arrested last week. She faces multiple criminal charges, including tampering with a witness, failure to report, obstructing a law enforcement officer. Her bail was set at $5,000. And also, according to KATU and an email sent out by the district to parents over the weekend, she is not the only one that is potentially facing some sort of punishment for allegedly hiding information from police about conduct involving students. We already knew that there was the other school administrator who they said that they were probably going to file charges on, but there's three others who have been placed on leave. They haven't been named, but clearly there's some sort of suspicion that they were involved in this secrecy around and these allegations. We also learned more about the allegations that were the students were involved in and engaged in as part of the charges against the school superintendent. I'm not going to dive too deep into what the kids are accused of doing, because it's horrible. So basically, several months ago, there were all these rumors that were circulating that there was some pretty severe, I would call it sexual hazing, happening at Mark Morris High School. You know, in one case where a kid was dragged into the locker room, partially disrobed, and it really, I mean, it's textbook sort of hazing, but doing it in a sexual way. It's really horrible. So these rumors started circulating on social media, so much so that the police heard about them and reached out to the school like, hey, is there something we need to know or we need to be investigating? So I just want to go through some of what the certification of probable cause is teaching us about this case. So again, the main suspect is the superintendent, Karen Klongener, and she faces those three charges, including one felony charge of tampering with a witness, the other two failure to report, obstructing a law enforcement officer, because of course, under state law, you are mandated. There are certain mandatory reporters, and one of them are teachers and school administrators, where if you have any inkling or a report of assault or abuse involving students, you just have to go to the police. You're not supposed to investigate it on your own. We see that happening all the time. But what she allegedly did, absolutely worthy of a felony charge. So there is a really detailed point by point of detectives of when they contacted the school district, and then what it took them to ultimately get information from the school district about what the school knew of this sort of sexual hazing. So this is from, again, the certification of probable cause. It says, on February 10th, that's of this year, I was assigned to this case, a sexual assault investigation involving students at Mark Morris High School. Through the investigation of this case, probable cause was developed to arrest two students for unlawful imprisonment with sexual motivation, indecent liberties with forcible compulsion, and indecent exposure. So he gets this case, and there's enough there to arrest two students on some very serious criminal offenses. So that's a separate thing. But then he also ends up investigating the school employees who kept it secret from the police. He says, it should be noted, the information gathered during the sexual assault investigation revealed that the staff at Mark Morris High School were notified of this behavior as early as January 29th of 2026. So that's 12 days or so before police got involved. However, law enforcement were not properly notified by the school and its staff. In fact, the Longview police chief and a captain with Longview PD reached out directly to Karen Kloninger, who's the superintendent, to ask about rumors that were going around on social media about a sexual assault. And they asked her at that time, on February 5th, does law enforcement need to get involved? She responded by saying there had been an incident that had been investigated and handled internally. And then it was only after one of the victim's parents came forward that they ended up launching the official police investigation. So they reached out to her. What do we need to do? And she said, nothing. We already handled it. It says, during the course of the investigation, several search warrants were served seeking communications and records made or possessed by Mark Morris High School and the Longview School District staff related to this investigation. This is also, it's so egregious. Police had to get not one, but two search warrants to get information from the school about these horrific crimes allegedly committed by students of a sexual nature. That's how many hoops the school made police go through. They hindered them every step of the way. It said the first search warrant was served on February 12th. And commanded the Longview School District to provide any and all communication related to this investigation. They said they later learned that Karen had directed another staffer, the technology manager for Longview School District, to put together an information package with all of this information and communication regarding the case. So she'd already asked for the school's technology and communications manager to put together basically a packet of all information that they had related to the case. But then she didn't give it to law enforcement. So that document existed. They'd already gone through all the work of putting it together for their internal purposes, but they didn't hand it over to law enforcement. They said it wasn't until a second search warrant to the Longview School District and to the technology manager himself on March 20th, more than a month after their criminal probe started, that they were finally provided with the communication records. The school blocked their ability to investigate these serious accusations for more than a month. Absolutely insane. And it says in there that Karen knew, the school superintendent knew, the details of what the kids were accused of. And that's important because she knew how serious it was. The details included a description of the behavior, which quotes as follows. Two of these students physically drug someone into the team room, pinned him down, and removed his pants and attempted to remove his underwear. So Karen knew the totality of how serious these accusations against the kids were, and she still chose to hide it, and she still chose to hide it, and she still chose to hide it. Why? We find out why. Unreal. She was worried about it hurting her reputation and her professional career and prospects. That's according to the police report. So it says that there is this other school administrator. His name is Rick. I don't really know what Rick does, but he's just referenced as Rick. And it says, we met with and interviewed Rick at his attorney's office. We explained to Rick that the conversation would be audio video recorded. Rick was agreeable. Rick explained that on February 4th, Karen directed him to go to Mark Morris High School to speak with these two kids. She had directed him to get messaging out regarding the investigation. Once Rick got to Mark Morris High School and spoke with the kids, he realized the details of the investigation seemed to be much worse than what Karen had relayed to him. He called Karen and expressed feeling blindsided and told her it seemed different and bigger than what you had told me. He told Karen he thought they should get the school district's attorney involved. Karen told Rick to stand down and that she would call him back in a moment. A short time later, Karen called him back and directed him to put the phone call on speaker so everybody could hear what she was about to say, so multiple witnesses to what she said. She told them, quote, look, guys, we're not going to put anything in writing on this. She said, quote, we're not calling an attorney because I am not going to be told to do something I don't want to do. She goes on to say, quote, again, according to multiple witnesses who were privy to the conversation, look, guys, at this point, social media has already got rumors going. Tell the kids on the team we don't want any more rumors. Don't talk about this. She then said to one of her staffers, Aaron, you better figure this out. You better do it right, because this is a career killer. One of the people on that call, Rick, said that Aaron, the other staffer, stood up and physically kicked the desk out of frustration from what this school superintendent was telling him. So Rick goes back to the district office. He goes to see Karen in person after that conversation. He said, based on his experience and what he investigated at Mark Morris High School, it seemed like there was, quote, some sort of hazing going on, and it could be systemic. He said Karen became visibly frustrated and went on to lecture him about the definition of systemic. She then told him it was not hazing and, quote, I don't want you using that word. So this was a school administrator who didn't want it getting out that there might be some serious sexual hazing of students happening at Mark Morris High School. She was worried that those rumors would be a, quote, career killer. So what did she do? She hid it from police. She hid serious allegations of serious crimes to the police. Remember the arrests that police ultimately made of two students. They arrested them for unlawful imprisonment with sexual motivation, indecent liberties with forcible compulsion, and indecent exposure. And Lord only knows, and I think this is the saddest part that we have not discussed yet, how many times did that continue while the school hid it? How many times and for how long did the kind of horrible sexual conduct and assault described in those documents go on and be allowed to continue because this school superintendent didn't want her career in jeopardy? And so she decided to keep it from police. I mean, the school district's going to get sued to high heaven. She's going to probably wind up in prison on the felony. The four other school staffers, maybe they get charged as well. And I think this needed to happen because we see so many examples of this. We have talked about it probably more than anyone else, about examples of failure to report in other school districts across the state of Washington. Just last night, I reached back out to the Olympia School District. They have a case of failure to report where two assistant principals did the same thing, took it upon themselves to investigate allegations that a student was having sex with a staffer. A few weeks, police say they waited before reporting it to police. That's in violation of state law. There's no way around it. I asked the Olympia Police Department, why haven't you sought charges against those two assistant principals yet? I also reached out to the Pierce County Sheriff's Office. We know that there's the allegation from the female wrestler that she was assaulted during a match by a trans wrestler. The school there hid it for 2 months. We know at least one coach knew about it and multiple school employees in the Puyallup School District knew about it. That's criminal. It's failure to report under the law. So why, in Longview, when they decided they could make an arrest for that, why are these other school districts and other agencies not making an arrest when it's as clear as day? There's no factual discrepancies. They waited when they shouldn't have waited. And Lord only knows how long these things were allowed to continue, because that has been sort of this environment that has been fostered is, oh, we're not getting the police involved. We'll take care of it. And how much of that do you think is because of the anti-police animus? Because the far left's hate of the cops. Oh, we don't trust cops, and kids don't trust cops, and cops are racist. So we'll just handle these investigations because we don't want the students to become criminal justice involved. We don't want the kids to get in trouble. So we'll just handle it amongst ourselves. Well, you can't do that. It's even in a state like Washington, where everything is totally backward, it's still against the law for keeping secrets from law enforcement when you have a duty to report. Outrageous. All right, speaking of schools, Pride Month is just a couple days away. Gird your loins. Let's get to a double dose of unbelievable. So send us your Pride-related public school stories, because every single year, all sorts of nonsense happens around LGBTQ plus stuff during the month of June. So make sure that you send those to us. Go to undividedpod.com and click on the tips thing and send us a tip that way. But here's one that just really ticked me off over the weekend. So the Seattle Public School District at its district office on Tuesday, June 2nd, is having a pride flag waving, raising event. So they're going to raise the trans pride flag and have this big celebration on June 2nd to usher in Pride Month. Now, normally I'd be like, oh, whatever. But they put this out ahead of Memorial Day. And do you think that they had some sort of flag raising ceremony or anything on Memorial Day with the American flag, honoring people who have fought and died for it so people in this country can celebrate Pride Month? No. So they put this out, totally ignore Memorial Day. No big deal, but we're going to have a big trans pride flag waving, raising. It's just absolutely outrageous. So that's something that's happening at the Seattle Public School District on June 2nd. And then up in Shoreline, this is a city-sponsored pride prom. This is taxpayer funded. If you're a private organization and you're doing it, like, look, you do you. You're funded with private money. I might still talk about it, but it's not really a taxpayer issue. Do what you want to do with your private funds. But this June 5th, 4 p.m., Pride Prom, celebrate Pride with food, dancing, crafts, and so much more. It's open to 6th graders through 12th graders, which I also think is weird because some of the seniors are probably adults and you've got like 11 and 12 year olds going to Pride Prom. And this is happening at the Shoreline Teen Center, which again, 2:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. I'm sorry, but 11 and 12 year olds need to be in bed around that time. But again, this is put on by the city of Shoreline. So how much money from the city of Shoreline and taxpayers in the city of Shoreline is going to pay for Pride Prom? And I'm also quite suspicious about what other things are going to happen there. Because remember, I think it was last year, maybe. Yeah, we did a story on Pacific Lutheran University having Queer Prom, an annual opportunity for LGBTQ plus allied youth ages 14 to 24 to come experience queer joy and engage community resources. And one of the things they were going to be able to do is get free HIV testing. And it was like, wait, 14-year-olds are going to be in the same place as 24-year-olds, and you're going to have HIV testing? And it just all seems so strange to me. Like, just imagine for a second if you, at a normal prom, like, let's say you had just a prom for everyone, right? But it's also this idea of we have to separate the, we want equal treatment, but we also want special events all the time for just us. But imagine if you had at a regular prom at a high school, testing for sexually transmitted diseases. Parents would be like, what the hell? Why are you doing that at a prom? Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying that that's not a reality of high schoolers getting sexually involved with one another and maybe getting an STD, but you don't have STD testing at a prom.
To me, that's encouraging.
It is. It's like, hey, sex. Like, right, hey, test normalizing.
Normalize testing and being negative so that you can go have sex after prom. I think it's out of control.
I hate it all so much.
The 12-year-old, I mean, number one, prom is literally for juniors and seniors. You're not even supposed to be a freshman or a sophomore to go to prom. Like, it's supposed to be, here's the older upperclassmen going to a special thing. But now you're bringing 11 and 12-year-olds into it, and it's because, like, that's when they're going through changes, right? Yep. And they want to just like get their claws in them
100%.
And say, hey, you might be gay.
Or you, like, might be trans.
I can help you. You might be trans.
It's gonna be,
I can help you.
Or it's going to be community. Gay kids going there and they're like, no, you're a woman. And like exposing them to this idea of a trans agenda.
Right.
It's like, no, just this is a very welcoming place. They don't need their own special little prom. They're going to be welcomed at the regular proms. Just go to your regular prom.
When you're old
enough.
When
you're old enough to go to it, you know, and there's not HIV testing there. There might be a punch bowl or something or some fun games.
I was looking more into this, actually. And a few weeks ago, they had a get ready for prom because they were like encouraging the kids that were actually going to school and could go to prom were the older kids, right? And so they were like getting ready for prom and you had to be 15 plus. Oh, that's interesting. So you know that when you go to a regular prom, you have to be above a certain age and in high school. And it's
sexualization.
Like how they don't see that is. And it was being propped up by the Seattle Pride festivity, Pride community or whatever.
Yeah. So send us what happens in schools. But I asked you guys, generally speaking, even on a baseline level, should public schools recognize Pride Month? Should there be any sort of any recognition at all? Yes or no?
I mean, you could put it in a lesson plan, like this is something that happens somewhere in history. I don't know. I'm just making an excuse. But no, there it should not be celebrated. It should be, you know, in the when you're talking about gay rights or something like that in a history lesson, you can say like this was what they went through to get these rights, whatever. But no, there is no celebrating different communities. That's a that's what's kind of going wrong. I think that you should just be taught something and not everybody has to be celebrated. I think that kids are being told too often that they like everybody needs a celebration. Everybody's special. Everybody's no. You're just going there for an education.
Well, then you single groups out, like you said, and then ultimately someone's going to be left out. Someone doesn't get a special week, a special day, a special month, a special announcement, a special flag, whatever it is.
Right.
So you just, I'm kind of, in a sane environment, I think we could. In a sane place where it's like, doesn't go too far, you're not raising flags, you're like, on the morning announcements, it's Pride Month, blah, fine. But that's not what's going to happen, and it's not what does happen. And then again, you're singling people out. So I asked you guys this question, and the vast majority of you say, no, there should be no sort of formal recognition of Pride Month at public schools, over on locals. 12% of you say yes. 88% of you say no. Oomph03. I'm part of the old school gay community. I am not here to be recognized. I'm just like everyone else. I want to grow up, get a job, make friends, enjoy life. I do not need a validation to know who I sleep with. Why is it so important to recognize people based on who they sleep with? Sadly, the schools have it wrong. In today's world, focus needs to be on education, not about your nightlife between the sheets. Correct. Yes. Matthew Cook, when you recognize a month that celebrates a group of people based on their sexual preference and or their feeling about their gender identity, you're giving them preferential treatment. True inclusivity and diversity, as the schools like to preach, would be no special treatment for anyone. Exactly. Let's see. Are Kingery. No, they need to go back and start teaching basics, reading, writing, arithmetic again. Tony said, is there a straight month? And why are we focusing on sex at school anyhow? Again, yeah, you can take these things and spin it to be the other, like you'd never allow a straight month. You know, just like you never allow like a black, you know, Black History Month, White History Month. It's just so backwards. And I get it. You'd be like, oh, well, black people, you know, went through all this hardship. And so they've earned a month. It's like you could do that for a million different communities that have been through hardships at some point in human history. Like, do you have a, you know, at school, do you celebrate like Jewish Heritage Month? Because they went through the freaking Holocaust. No, you don't, because you pick and choose who gets to be celebrated and who's worthy of celebration and who's not. Outrageous. We'll get to national news, but the flag thing is going to come up again because this is just outrageous. First, our friend Wes Jones at sellwithwes.com is the guy you want to talk to if you're thinking about selling your home. And look, it's a strange market right now because there's a lot of listings, but maybe fewer buyers moving into Washington State to buy a home. You know, but a lot of people trying to sell a home and get out of Washington State. So the very first thing you need to do is get a free market analysis where Wes will give you a lay of the land. Lon Westover, who's an Undivided viewer and listener, he decided pretty quick he was going to move to Arizona. It was like a snap decision. Needed to sell his house here. He listened to the advice that Wes gave him about getting his home ready for sale, and he's very glad he did.
And so we ended up doing pretty much everything everything they said. We did it all. And then all of a sudden, in 5 days, it was three offers, all above list price. We were just kind of stunned. So yeah. It was dramatic. Unbelievable thing, because I told Wes when we talked to him, I said, well, we had to eat crow on it. He goes, well, Lon, you followed the process. That's all I ask you to do, and you followed it. Well, thank you for pushing us over the edge to make the process work.
Yeah, so we went from Sell with Wes to Sold with Wes, and now he's living his life in sunny Arizona. We miss you, Lon. Go to sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com. It really just is a better way to sell your home. All right, in national news, kind of same thing with the Seattle Public School District announcing their pride flag-raising ceremony and just ignoring Memorial Day and not doing anything for that. City of Minneapolis, same thing, bright and early in the morning. They posted this 7:58 a.m. What was on their mind Monday? George Floyd. Today, we remember George Floyd. 6 years ago, George Floyd's murder forced our city to confront painful truths about race, public safety, and inequality. Every May 25th is a reminder of that grief and a renewed call to action to keep pursuing the progress this tragedy catalyzed. We encourage you to gather, be with community, and honor George Floyd's life. That's what they want you to gather and be with community for on that Monday. And look, fine, two things can happen at once. But it's also Memorial Day. And I'm sorry, it is just so tacky for the first thing they say to be about this guy who probably died from drugs. I mean, I've always said I don't think that police handled the situation very well. But it's just wild. Even the mayor of Minneapolis, same thing. He had a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 part post. Bright and early, 7 a.m. First thing he did when he woke up, or his staff did. Today, we remember George Floyd, who was murdered by a former Minneapolis police officer 6 years ago. That moment changed our city forever. And he goes in. So they were just bodied online over this. Like, okay, great. George Floyd died today, but also it's Memorial Day, where a bunch of actual heroes died for our nation. So your city and the little far-left extremists could go riot and burn things down over George Floyd. So finally, like 6 hours later, the city of Minneapolis posted this for Memorial Day. Minneapolis remembers and honors those who have served our country. And that's not even what Memorial Day is for. Not even what Memorial, I mean, it is, but it's about not just veterans. It's about not just people who've served. It's about people who paid the ultimate price for our country. And it's just a simple post. Took them
with no words, like the other one said, today we remember George Floyd. Not today we remember.
Yeah. And then here's the real doozy. And actually, the Democratic Party deleted this, and rightfully so. They put this out. Today we honor the American heroes who made the ultimate sacrifice in Trump's war with Iran. And then they put out pictures of Americans who have died in Trump's war with Iran. So literally using a Memorial Day to attack Donald Trump. Because you could do that same post for, you know, Americans killed in the disastrous withdrawal from Afghanistan, or any number of things. And so they even got criticism from their own party. Senator Tammy Duckworth, who lost both of her legs in combat, said it is incredibly distasteful to use our heroic dead for a political attack on Memorial Day. I'm a Democrat and I condemn this post by the DNC. So they ended up deleting it and reposting it with a more appropriate Memorial Day message. But just ridiculous that you even have to say it. All right, in California, I don't know what's more interesting to me, I guess, the race for mayor of LA or the race for California governor. I don't know. I think that I have more hope that maybe Spencer Pratt can pull something off in the LA mayoral race than I do any of the Republican candidates for governor. But man, there's some doozies on the Democratic side. So Tom Steyer, who's like the billionaire who says he hates billionaires and billionaires are evil, he was on the I've Had It podcast. And I guess it does shock me that Democrats haven't backed away from the issue of boys and girls sports, because I do think it's an 80% issue. I do believe it played a role, and that kind of nonsense played a role in President Trump winning in 2024. But Tom Steyer is all in on taking spaces from girls.
I'm totally in favor of trans athletes in high school. I think when you understand the vulnerability, the stress, the danger of being a trans kid, and you understand that almost half of them try to commit suicide.
Yeah.
And then you think we're going to punish those kids. We're going to cut them off from team sports. We're going to cut them off from participating in the community. We're going to cut them off from fun.
No,
it's like, no, we're not.
Yeah, you're right.
No, we're not. And you know, as someone who played sports my whole life and loves sports and love playing sports, they're more important things than whether you start on your high school basketball team. And that is standing up for people who are under threat of death.
Oh my gosh. I mean, the amount of lies in just one clip. Nobody's trying to keep trans kids out of sports. We're just saying they have to play in the sport that aligns with their biological gender and therefore their physical ability. Nobody's trying to, and this totally made up statistic, half of trans kids try to kill themselves. And plus, one of the OG studies that sort of started this whole narrative that you have to let kids transition or they'll kill themselves. That study was totally debunked. There was data in there that said even the kids that are dealing with that who don't get, you know, transitions or who do get transitions, they still have, if not the same, higher rate of suicidal ideation. So it's totally made up statistic, absolute fear mongering, and it's a lie. We don't want, I don't want a trans kid, if that even exists, to not play in sports. I just want, if it's a boy, they need to play with the boys, and they can still, and he says, they can't have fun? And that sanctimonious line about, it's more important than if you start on your high school basketball team. Why is it always these men who are like, oh, it's okay for girls to lose opportunities. It's okay for girls' spaces to be taken over. You just need to shut up and get over it. And if you have to sit on the bench because there's a biological boy on your team, then there's more important things than that. We're literally trying to stand up for people who are dying. Give me a break. Give me a break. It's wild. I almost like, is Katie Porter better than Tom Steyer? I don't know at this point. The options are all just so bad. Speaking of the trans issue, a San Francisco YMCA is actually taking a harder line on biological men using the women's facilities. Now, harder line. They're not going to stop biological men from using the women's locker room, but they put out a notice basically saying, hey, try not to be naked outside of the shower area. But the way they write this says, YMCA in a liberal city finally cracks down with new rules after trans woman exposed pre-operative privates in female locker rooms. You mean his penis? You mean his penis? Mm-hmm. Trans woman exposed pre-op privates. Who even writes a sentence like that? It's a man exposed his penis. Just like, what in the world?
The Daily Mail. Daily I expect Mail. A little bit more.
Do you?
For some it reason. Says,
Women Are Real, a Bay Area organization of about 150 mostly women that has been fighting to defend women-only spaces, picked a battle with Bay Area YMCA over Sammy, this man. One group member named Anne, who attends the Stonestown YMCA, filed a police report in late March accusing Sammy of harassment. She describes a time Sammy, after blow-drying... It says her. I'm just going to read it as the story says. Her hair naked, walked up very close to her, turned around, and creepily used a handheld mirror to stare back at her. The Stonestown Family YMCA has posted new rules preventing the sort of behavior that got Sammy in trouble, prohibiting excessive nudity in the women's locker room. So their new rules read as follows. Nudity should be discreet, limited, and brief. Nudity is permitted only while actively showering. Members are expected to put clothing on or be covered during use of the space outside of showering. Respect privacy and personal space. Please maintain appropriate distance from others. Be mindful of personal space during times of undress and demonstrate courtesy at all times. I mean, I think that's just a good rule in general. Because even in, I don't think I've ever been in a women's locker room space where there was a biological man in there. But I don't even like being naked around other women. You know, I'm sorry. I'm just always like, okay. Because there's always the one in the women's locker room. It's usually an older woman or something who's like, look at me. And just like putting her leg up on stuff.
Right.
And just
why?
Unnecessary. Like almost a voyeurism sort of thing. And so we actual real women do that too. But I don't want to see somebody just flinging around their manhood.
Oh, and there's children. There's children president.
It's the YMCA. Yes. Jeez,
but it,
keep
you know
your penises
what, it
to yourselves.
Putting some simple rules in there worked, and Sammy hasn't returned.
Good. That's because Sammy probably wanted to whip
that's
his
exactly
junk around,
what
around
he
women.
Wanted. He wanted to be a creepy perv.
It's a voyeurism thing. Good grief, people. All right, we'll get to some comments coming up in a moment. First of all, summer's upon us. What's the first official day of summer? Will you Goog that for me?
The
23rd? Wow, it's that far? Does it start till June 23rd?
Yeah.
Oh. Well, there's still time to get priority scheduling with our friends at Valentine Roofing. If you need some work done to the exterior of your home, your roof, and you don't want to do it in the middle of a busy summer where you're going to have friends and family over, so you can get exterior cleaning, which is always a good thing to spruce up the outside of your home before you've got people over. If you need your roof inspected or if you just know it is time for a new roof, I've been waiting too long, well, get on their schedule now. And then the other important reason to do it now is that all the prices are going up for, you know, materials with the cost of crude oil and what's happening in the Middle East. So you want to make sure you lock in your estimate now. Because you call today and you get an estimate, they're going to lock it in for you. And then as costs go up, they're not going to go up for you. So a little trick there, something smart to do. Call 206-ROOFING today. 206-ROOFING today. I guarantee there'll be no surprises, just a clear estimate that you can trust. And when you see that red Valentine van, you know you're in good hands. Call 206-ROOFING for your free estimate. 206-ROOFING. doing, make sure you tell them you heard about them right here on Undivided.
Sorry, the 21st.
Oh, you but lied it
can
to me.
It can bounce around, apparently. The solstice can be the 21st, 22nd, whatever.
Gotcha. Okay. Anyway, so you lied to me.
So if you are looking to go to the solstice parade, there you go. That's your weekend.
Where the nude bicyclists are? No, thank you. I'll take a hard pass. A reminder that no our once yearly promo... What?
I said no pun intended.
About what?
Your hard pass.
Oh, Jesus. She thinks she's so funny. Look at her over giggling. Look at you over there.
Repeat it so then it's hard not nearly pass. As funny.
Our once yearly promo, I'm not playing with you. We only do it once a year and it ends tomorrow, okay? It ends tomorrow at 5 p.m. 30% off an entire year. Go to patreon.com/undivided. Every time we do this promo, somebody emails me the day after that and says, but I missed it. And I'm like, it's been going on for 30 days. And I know I said it will go on through May, but Patreon only lets us do it for 30 days and we started at the end of April. So patreon.com/undivided. Take advantage of it. 30% off. Promo code USA30. Because there's no going back if you miss it. All right, comments from the live stream. All right, Giggle Monster, if you want to join us for comments. Have you composed yourself?
Yes.
Baron of Gray Matter, regular folks need to show up and point and laugh. Play recordings of canned laughter from sitcoms from the 70s. Are you talking about like during the parade where they've got like full nudity? I think that's what he's talking about.
I think so. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I just don't. Stop putting it. Keep your penis to yourself. Like, is that really so hard?
I don't understand why it's not public nudity.
I don't want to look at it. Nobody wants to look at it.
Please make a couple arrests and make them stop.
Why is it always so sexual with them? Moon Goddess. On trans rights, they need to stop imagining fake scenarios just so they can hurt their own feelings and claim their rights are being infringed upon. Right, go enjoy your life. Do your thing. Be trans. Whatever you want to do, just go enjoy your life and everybody will leave you alone. I promise you this.
Ulterior motives. They yes. want to destroy us.
No special treatment. Equal treatment, no special treatment. Krista McIntyre, I would like the right to not be subjected to people's genitals in public. Yeah, exactly. Richard Streifel, about the Seattle LGBTQA plus special treatment demand for services. Apparently the mayor is going to have it studied by a special committee. I can't believe it. Well, I can. People are coming to Seattle and more will come for the socialist culture. Seattle, you're getting what you voted for. And that's the other thing. If you build it, they will come. That's mm-hmm. what happened with homelessness. We discussed that at the beginning of the show.
That's what
you
they
make
want.
It very convenient and advantageous to be homeless and do your drugs. They're going to come here. The same with the trans community. So now you're going to give them money for housing, food, legal services, probably medical services. Yeah, then you'll have a trans refugee crisis. Yes. It'll be self-created. Good point. Good point, Richard. Mighty Mouse's girlfriend. People only need the help because Washington State officials created the problem. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Pratt says LA homeless might go to Seattle. Joe Wilson. Unfortunately, I don't believe that socialism can be stopped. It's a global movement. It's an agenda to create a world government, no borders. Yeah, and it's the socialism that'll bring the homeless here, but... Yeah, I think socialism unfortunately is spreading.
Saying that he was lying about how many beds there were and how if you could house them. If anybody wants a bed, they can find yes. one. They're lying. And people just, oh, no, he's lying. No, you're lying. You're lying to yourself. These people can there's plenty of help out there for everyone. They it's don't true. Want help.
And if you're telling me we spend billions of dollars and you can't get someone, if somebody right. comes in and says, I'm ready, that what you can't, you don't have help for them.
What are we spending? 100-something thousand per person?
Right.
We exactly. can get them a bed.
On Seattle residents fed up over what's happening in North Seattle, Jules said, my grandma says Aurora Avenue has always had prostitution problems when she was young in the 50s. In the 90s, those who trafficked me were from that area. Nothing new to see here, folks. Doesn't need to change. Mm-hmm. Fred Munson, sounded like a firefight when I was in Vietnam. I mean, literally, that was more than 30 rounds. That went on forever. Yeah. Weiss Castle, spare the rod, spoil the child, and Seattle has definitely become a spoiled brat of a city.
True.
On the five now on leave in the Longview case, Joe Wilson, if you're putting your kids in public schools, you are putting them in the belly of the beast. I agree.
It's true.
PO4G7, the school district was more worried about the optics of the situation than actually protecting children. 100%. Steve, this is a big girl prison type behavior. Right. She allegedly really went out of her way to thwart the police investigation. And that's why she's facing the serious charges that she is. It's not just she's failure really to report. It's more than that.
Wild to me, because if she would have just handled it appropriately, that probably would have looked better for her.
Yes. And she wouldn't have had to. Yes. Exactly.
Then all the rumors swirling and her not doing anything about him. If you would have just jumped on it, handled it, everybody would have been like, wow, she handles things really well.
Or we never would have heard about it at the public level. We never would have heard about it in the news. She made it into a controversy. Mm-hmm. On Pride Month beginning, Crafty Grandma Crispy, I will absolutely be celebrating Pride. My pride in America, red, white, and blue. All month long and all year long, really.
Great idea.
All right, good comments. We'll get to our closing sanity check. Jay Inslee just won't go away. Why am I even playing this? I hate hearing his voice, but he's so unhinged. First, there's a lot of investors right now focused on AI, crypto, tech. Not that that's a bad thing, but the real story right now is in energy, and it'll probably continue to be in energy. So you need to ask, is your current advisor underestimating energy's impact on your retirement portfolio? Our friend Zach Abraham and his team at Bulwark Capital, they can do a personalized know-your-risk portfolio review with you, and he'll talk about energy. He'll explain how every market is being driven by energy, the impact energy has on inflation, how that could potentially affect your retirement planning. Plus, he'll do a full reveal for you of how Bulwark is focused on risk management, always looking for opportunities to lower risk, lower cost, give your retirement as much upside as possible. So you can go to knowyourriskpodcast.com, schedule your own personalized Know Your Risk portfolio review. While you're there, you can also figure out how to subscribe to Zach's daily podcast, get his daily market recaps, etc. knowyourriskpodcast.com. All right, with that, let's get to our closing sanity check. All right, former Washington Governor Jay Inslee, still on the climate grift. Even as others are letting it go, he will not let it go. He joined Defiance.org podcast and says, we would be much further along in fighting climate change if it wasn't for Donald Trump.
We are doing some incredible things in the United States if we just can get Trump to take his foot off our throats. These technological innovations that Americans are so adept at. I mean, that's what we do. We invent, we create, we build. And we're doing this in clean energy. We are creating a whole decarbonized economy. We're fully capable of doing that if we can just get Trump out of the way.
If we can just get Trump out of the way. Huh, you passed billions of dollars in new taxes at the hands of the working class in Washington state, and we're still not going to meet any of the clean energy goals that you set before you left office. Has nothing to do with Donald Trump and getting him out of the way. You set goals that weren't achievable. Also, you could bring more money in to the taxpayer, into the government coffers, courtesy of the taxpayer. So give me a break. That has been our closing sanity check. Again, take advantage of that promo. Patreon.com/undivided. You've got 24 hours to do so. There will be no redos. That's it. We'll see you back here on the live show tomorrow at noon.